The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
I'm Austin York, and this is the Afternoon All Local.
Fire Chief in Lancaster is on a hot seat for some of his actions and some of his remarks.
In a letter to Lancaster's mayor and city council, the Texas State Association of Firefighters says Chief Kenneth Johnson is over the line. The association says the chief first reduced the number of firefighters on duty to a level below standards, then went on to say the union was the devil and Satan when they complained. Brett Cook, president of the union local, says when Johnson made those remarks, he was actually acting as a minister.
People listen to their pastors and their ministers and put a lot of weight behind what those people say. And so now when I respond on a call, I don't know how I'll be received.
Mayor Clyde Harsin says there are two sides to the story, and he says the city is not threatening safety levels.
As far as our safety being threatened and all that, I didn't see that.
The city manager's office promised to send us a statement, but never did. From the 24-hour news center, LP Phillips News, Radio 1080 KRLD.
It's life in prison for a Mesquite man convicted of murdering another man who dated his ex-girlfriend. Earlier today, jurors in Dallas convicted 26-year-old Jorge Esparza. 4 years ago, Esparza stalked his ex-girlfriend, then killed UTA nursing student Ricardo Madriz after he dropped off his date in South Dallas.
There's been an agreement worked out to let a condemned man testify before a House committee, and there's a new filing at the Supreme Court about this. The attorney general nullified the whole thing. Committee wants in-person testimony from Roberson. Ken Paxton's been fighting the committee once Roberson executed. Supreme Court blocked the state from carrying out the execution until he testifies.
Well, downtown Dallas is looking at ways to keep growing long-term. Downtown Dallas Incorporated Chief Executive Jennifer Scripps says the first thing people ask for is a grocery store. But people also want more restaurants.
Fine dining always comes up, but fast casual has really risen. As more people are back in the office, we know our attorneys, architects, really anybody doesn't always have time or the budget for a full service sit-down lunch.
And she says 9 out of 10 people responding to a survey asked for an urgent care or a doctor's office downtown.
Almost a third of Dallas County voters have already voted. But if you haven't made it out yet, you've got more time.
Voting locations in Dallas County will now stay open 2 hours later.
So polls will be open the next 3 days from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Dallas County Elections Administrator Hyder Garcia says almost 51,000 people voted yesterday alone, and 478,000 Dallas County residents have cast their ballots early since voting started.
Turnout has been great, has been high, so it's been exciting to see people. Lines have been moving in a pretty good manner.
Early voting across Texas runs through Friday with Election Day next Tuesday. From the 24-hour news center, Alan Skaya, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Well, North Texas has two major cities in the top 10 list where property tax bills have gone up in most in the last 5 years.
Homeowners in Fort Worth pay 44% more in property taxes than they did in 2019, according to Redfin Real Estate. Fort Worth's number 8 on the top 10 list of U.S. cities with the fastest growing property tax bills. Number 9 is San Antonio, and Dallas is number 10, where homeowners are paying 41% more than 5 years ago. Out-of-pocket costs aside, the Redfin report suggests the consolation prize is that property taxes pay for schools and parks, amenities that add value to the community. From the 24-hour news center, Bill McLean, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Now, this is a question that I've really pondered, and we were actually talking about this in the newsroom earlier this week. Should papers actually endorse a candidate? Been done for years, but how much impact does it make? Well, all kinds of controversy was kicked off earlier this week when papers like USA Today, the Los Angeles Times, the Washington Post made announcement they're not going to be endorsing anyone this year. All of those papers were most likely going to endorse Kamala Harris. Jeff Bezos, owner of the Post, says this gives newspapers a look of bias, but others say, quote, withholding support for Harris after everything that the newspapers have reported about Trump's manifest unfitness for the office is plain cowardice. Let's get to the bottom of all of this, and we bring in the guy we always do, SMU political science professor Matthew Wilson. Matthew, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, thanks. Thank you for having me.
All right, there's been a lot of people quitting the paper. There's been thousands of cancellations reportedly. Why are people so mad at this?
Well, I think largely they're angry for partisan reasons. you know, how these newspapers lean is no secret. Everybody who reads the Washington Post, for example, with any regularity knows that they dislike Donald Trump, are highly critical of Donald Trump, and prefer Kamala Harris. So they're making an explicit endorsement, I don't think would come as news to anybody. But a lot of their readership also really dislikes Donald Trump, and they see this decision not to make an endorsement as being cowardly, as not wanting to, you know, court his disfavor. And they don't like what they see as a cowardly or craven look, and they're signaling their displeasure.
Do these endorsements ever really make a difference? I mean, they've been done for well over 100 years.
Yeah, I don't think that they make much difference in this day and age, and particularly in a general election. I think they can matter some in primaries where voters are having to choose between different Democratic or different Republican options. So, you know, if a left-leaning newspaper weighs in on which Democrat is the best, or a right-leaning outlet weighs in on which Republican is the best, I think that can be of some value to voters. But, you know, the fact that the New York Times prefers the Democrat, that's a kind of the dog bites man type story.
Exactly. Bezos, the owner of the Post, he said this is they're withholding that this year because there's a lack of trust for media in general. But some on the left are suggesting there's a different motive, that maybe he's afraid of what would happen in a Trump administration. Talk a little bit about that. Have you heard this?
Well, I have heard this, and I think Bezos' position would have been much more defensible had he announced it 6 months ago or a year ago and just said, as a policy matter, the Post will not be endorsing candidates going forward. Now, that's a very justifiable and defensible thing to do. There are good arguments for it. There are also some arguments against it. I think the decision being made this late in the game is part of what really has upset some people, who perceive it as being kind of a surrender to Trump's veiled and not so veiled threats against some media outlets that oppose him. So I think the timing is a big part of the reaction to it.
He did mention about the lack of trust in media, and there is no doubt about that. If you look at latest polls, and he brought it up even in his defense, that the media, us in the media, I got a point to myself, are actually ranked lower than Congress right now in trustworthiness. So is it a good practice for these papers to be endorsing candidates? I can't imagine any other news outlet doing that, just basically out there in front with it.
Yeah, I mean, it is a long tradition, as you say, in American newspaper business that the editorial pages make candidate endorsements. But typically, other media outlets don't do that officially. Like, I'm pretty sure, for example, KRLD does not have a slate of endorsed candidates. Even something that clearly has a partisan lean, like Fox News or MSNBC, they don't officially endorse a candidate. So it really is a newspaper thing, and newspapers are kind of unique in that regard. And Bezos is exactly right. Trust in the media has really plummeted, and people perceive media outlets very often as biased, as having an ideological or partisan thumb on the scale. I don't think there's an easy fix to that, but that certainly is a public perception that media outlets are struggling against.
All right. It was the big comment made overnight. I have to get your reaction to this. President Biden calling, or at least saying on the comment and then clarifying it later, that Trump supporters were garbage. Is this going to matter? What was your reaction to the whole thing?
Well, Trump would say this is just, he accidentally said the quiet part out loud, that Trump would claim that's what he has thought all along about those who support Donald Trump. Now, I don't think it's going to make a huge difference, because, you know, Trump supporters are by definition already Trump supporters. So the people who would be offended by that are already on the other side. What it does do that's favorable for Trump, however, is it took some of the attention off Trump's the statement that was made at Trump's rally by the comedian about Puerto Rico that had gotten a lot of attention. And the Trump campaign, I think, is grateful for this misstep by the president that takes some attention away from that.
All right. That's why we call him. He sets us all straight, lets us know what's going on. That's SMU political science professor Matthew Wilson. Now, one of the biggest races that we're looking at here in North Texas is the District 26 congressional seat. Congressman Michael Burgess retiring, so the seat's open. One side, you got Brandon Gill. Now, he's a 30-year-old Republican from Flower Mound. He's made a name for himself by being kind of a ride-or-die guy with former President Trump. On the other hand is retired Naval Officer Ernest Lineberger. He's an engineer from Carrollton. He's running on the Democratic ticket. And he is joining us now right here on News Radio 1080 KRLD. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Hi, good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So this district we know is pretty solidly red. So what made you decide to run in this one?
Okay, so maybe 6 years ago, I started getting calls from different candidates, asking for money. And I just thought that was really cool. And I started following, you know, more closely the specific people in the races. And November 7th of last year, I went to a candidate forum to see who might be running in our district. Because after the 2020 redistricting, we had nobody run for the Democrats last year for this seat. And I was disappointed again to find out that nobody was running. So I'm a retired naval officer. I've been at Texas Instruments for the last almost 29 years now, and was looking at retiring again and wondering what was I going to do with myself. And I said, you know, to stop the atrophy of the Democratic Party, we need to have a candidate so people will come out and vote and get energized, especially at the House level, with it being just a small Republican majority. If we can take one more seat back, we should. And I think my qualifications, I could go over a bunch of them, but I just led a life of service and dedication to the country. I was a nuclear power officer on board the USS Nimitz, helping make that go, and continued to serve until I retired in 95. And while I've been here in the Dallas area for the last 29 years, I've tried to be a person of service, doing all different kinds of projects. I was a hospice volunteer for a time and a reading mentor in schools, and helping assemble wheelchair ramps for different people. And I just don't know that my opponent has any of that kind of service mentality. And I don't appreciate President Trump's policies. I was really embarrassed as an American to know that we were separating children from their families at the border and not even keeping track to try to reunite them later. The slow to approve more funding for weapons for Ukraine while people were dying on the battlefield, trying to protect their democracy there as a first line of defense against our democracy here. There are just so many things. I'd like to balance the federal budget and start knocking down that $35 trillion debt that we have. And the Republicans can't do it because they can't agree amongst themselves when they have a majority. So there's just so much to be done. I would really like to restore some civility in Congress to make a better example for people to live by. I think we've just gotten too bitter with each other.
You know,
the long answer for a short question.
That's no problem. No problem. You know, you talked a little bit about this. I heard you speak a little bit that you're not going to be completely like some of your colleagues. You're going to work with anyone. And in Washington, you kind of mentioned it. Bipartisanship seems to be like a dirty word.
No. I mean, Colin Allred has worked very, I mean, is he like the number one bipartisan person in Congress? And he got us that VA hospital in Garland. No, bipartisan is how you get things done. Like, it should I get the honor to serve this district and go to Congress, and like maybe I come up in the hallway with Marjorie Taylor Greene or Matt Gaetz or any of those high personalities, I'm not going to sneer and turn away or anything. I'm going to salute them for their service, say thank you for what you've done so far. Now, let's you and I look at our want-to-do list and see if there's anything that comes close that we can start to work on. Like, maybe you'd like to balance the budget. I know I'd like to. And you know, see where we can communicate and compromise. I don't think the fighting benefits anybody, certainly not our constituents.
And you're out on the campaign trail. I know you've been talking to some residents there in Collin County and others. Talk a little bit about what issues you're hearing the most about.
Yes.
you know, one of the number one issues is fear. As you knock on the door, that some people won't open the door and they'll say, are you a Republican or a Democrat? And I'll say, well, I'm a Democrat. And I actually don't publish that too much in my literature because I want people to read about me and say, oh, yeah, I agree with him on this, 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 and then find out I'm a Democrat. But anyway, they'll finally like, OK, I'll open my door for a Democrat. They're just afraid. And I think there's just been the rhetoric. I've been sitting in the parking lot for the last 10 days here, poll greeting people as they come and go to the Carrollton Library. And there's a group of Republicans here, too. And they really are the sweetest people. You know, they're helping me. I'm helping them. You know, if there's anything we need, you know, it's kind of mutual support, parking lot life out here. And I don't think everybody sees that because of the speeches with the horrible things that are being said. I do not agree with the Republican candidates. Don't let me get you wrong. But the Republican people in general are, you know, they're nice people. A lot of times they just see the issues different than I do, or maybe they're more emphasize, you know, one of the angles. You know, when you make your own decisions on how you come out on the issues.
Gotcha.
But anyway, so I think fear is like one of the biggest issues. And like when you ask them a simple question like, well, it sounds like you're really pro our policies and my candidacy. Would you like a yard sign? Oh, no, I don't dare let my neighbors know that, or I don't want to offend them and rile them up or something. So that is something we need to address. And part of that, I think, is the disinformation that goes around. That's just horrible in my view, because there are good people trying to make the best decision in this election based on a lot of mis or even disinformation.
Yeah.
And I just think that's one of the worst forms of voter suppression.
That is Ernest Lineberger. He is running for congressional seat, District 26. That's going to be Congressman Michael Burgess's old seat.
The All Local is updated three times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.